They got to pony up more money to the government. Our homestead exemption is not adequate.
We're a tourism state. And that matters.
These are complicated children with complicated pasts and complicated traumas.
From the fourth floor of the Capitol Rotunda, you're listening to WFSU Public Media's Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan. This is Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan. Among today's Capitol action, Republican lawmakers and Governor Ron DeSantis have been pushing for a study on eliminating property taxes in Florida. But Tristan Wood reports several of the proposals on the table focus on bringing relief to properties other than primary homes.
In Florida, homeowners get tax exemptions on about 50,000 of the first 75,000 of their primary home's value. It's called a homestead exemption. It doesn't apply to second homes or vacation homes. And Governor Ron DeSantis says it doesn't do enough to protect homeowners from skyrocketing property values.
They bought a house 10 years ago, and now someone's telling them it's worth $1 million, and they got to pony up more money to the government. And our homestead exemption is not adequate. It is not adequate to protect taxpayers against that. So people are really getting pinched, and that's a huge, huge problem.
The value of all property in Florida has risen tremendously since 2021, from about $3.1 trillion to $4.9 trillion last year. So the amount of tax money local governments have collected has risen too. State Representative Ryan Chamberlain wants to phase out property tax altogether over the next 7 or 8 years. He is pushing for a ballot initiative for 2026 that would provide a $100,000 tax exemption on all properties, not just homesteads.
If you can't pay property taxes on your home, family farm, or small business warehouse, your property will be seized by the state and given to someone else. Our seniors, some of whom who have paid on their property for 30, 40, and even 50 years, still don't own it. This isn't tax, this is slavery.
The increase in property tax payments has not been felt as steeply by homesteaded properties, because another protection, called Save Our Homes, caps property tax increases on homesteaded properties to 3% each year. There's also additional homestead exemptions for seniors, veterans, and the disabled. That means second homes, rental properties, and business properties have seen their tax bills increase quicker than primary residences. Another proposal filed in the legislature would commission a study to explore the impact of getting rid of property taxes in the state. Some Senate Republicans seem hesitant to abolish property taxes completely. Two current lawmakers who just happen to both be former Senate presidents have voiced concerns. Naples Republican Senator Kathleen Passidomo is one of them.
I feel pretty uncomfortable with some of these broad sweeping statements about eliminating property taxes without, and I think we should caution our members as to the outcomes if we just do that. And so the sooner we do that, the better it is for our members so that they don't go down a rabbit hole.
Pensacola Republican Senator Don Gates is curious about how local governments would make up about $50 billion in lost annual revenue.
Sometimes it's good to know not only how much money is involved if you reduce a tax, but, you know, what's it going to take using other tax sources to address the revenue issue?
A report from the left-leaning think tank Florida Policy Institute suggests Florida would have to do a combination of dramatically increasing sales tax and cutting local expenditures like schools and law enforcement to make up for abolishing property taxes. I'm Tristan Wood.
Governor DeSantis has his sights on legislation that would increase firearm access. During his State of the State address, the governor touted plans to roll back key provisions of Florida's current gun laws. He also voiced support for a push to allow open carry in the state. Adrian Andrews has that story.
In the weeks leading up to session, DeSantis pitched a Second Amendment summer as part of his proposed budget for the coming fiscal year. It would make gun and ammunition purchases tax-free for about 5 weeks this summer.
From Memorial Day till the 4th of July, you can get your ammunition, your firearms, and your accoutrements tax-free in the state of Florida.
But that's not all the governor wants to see happen in the state of Florida. He's also backing a proposal that would reverse reforms that came with the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School Public Safety Act following the deadly 2018 Parkland school shooting. Lawmakers raised the gun purchasing age, created protective risk orders, and brought stricter background checks. Following Tuesday's State of the State address, the governor told reporters he supports a bill to lower the state's minimum age for purchasing a long rifle from 21 to 18.
They've taken away the rights of young adults to purchase a long gun, and they can't even buy a rifle to go hunt. That just doesn't make sense. I mean, are you an adult or not?
DeSantis also says he supports legalizing open carry legislation because it would put Florida on par with most other red states. But that proposal is already hitting a few bumps in the road. Senate President Ben Albritton said on the opening day of session that he plans to follow the guidance of law enforcement who have typically opposed open carry. He says Florida is a tourist state and allowing open carry could be dangerous.
We're a tourism state, and that matters.
So I'm working through that in my mind, right? Because the most important thing I want to do is to do what's right. And certainly the most important thing that I don't want to do is make a mistake.
The only open carry bill filed this session came from former Navarre Republican Representative Joel Rudman, but his legislation was withdrawn after he resigned to run for Congress. Melbourne's Republican Senator Randy Fine is in a similar position. He's running for another congressional seat, but his resignation date isn't until later, and he says he hopes to see his bills move through the process.
You know, I filed two gun bills and I'm leaving fairly early in the session. I think open carry is a pretty spirited discussion to have. If it comes up while I'm still there, I'd vote for it.
One of Fine's bills would allow students to carry guns on college and university campuses. The Republican lawmaker says he believes that all students should have the right to protect themselves. I'm Adrian Andrews.
After fierce political battles last year about abortion rights and recreational marijuana, Florida lawmakers today began moving forward with a proposal that would place additional restrictions on the ballot initiative process. The Republican-controlled House Government Operations Subcommittee today approved a bill that focuses on the critical process of gathering and submitting petition signatures to place measures on the ballot. Bill sponsor Jenna Persons Malika says the process is broken with out-of-state money flooding into Florida to try to pass initiatives and paid petition circulators committing fraud.
This is our Constitution, and this is about the power of the people of Florida, and we need to get it right to protect the people of Florida and ensure we have integrity in the petition process.
But opponents, including Democrat Darrell Campbell, say the proposed restrictions would prevent citizens from trying to pass ballot initiatives when their wishes are ignored by the legislature.
The core of our Citizens Amendment process allows anyone, regardless of wealth or resources, to propose an idea, whether good or bad.
Examples of voter-approved initiatives in Florida include measures that raised the minimum wage, allowed medical marijuana, started the state's voluntary pre-kindergarten program, and sought to prevent political gerrymandering. The Florida Senate's Committee on Children and Families has unanimously approved a sweeping measure aimed at plugging holes in the child welfare system. As Margie Manziel tells us, the bill has a strong supporter in Senate President Ben Albritton.
Among its many components, the bill would establish a 4-year foster care pilot program for children with complex mental health needs, placing them with specifically trained foster families. Vero Beach Republican Senator Aaron Grawl, the committee chair, presented the bill to the committee on the opening day of session.
There has been a decrease in the overall number of children removed from their homes and placed in out-of-home care. However, this has coincided with an increase in the needs of those children who are removed from their homes.
The bill would try to avoid placing children with complicated behavioral health needs into households unequipped to care for them properly. All too often, such situations result in a long trail of busted placements and a long record of rejection for the child.
Unfortunately, there's simply not enough placements that can adequately serve children with high acuity, particularly in family-like settings. This bill requires DCF to create a treatment foster care pilot program that will increase family-like placements for children with high acuity behavioral needs.
High acuity is another way of saying a critical condition. The bill works to address that by including a professional foster care family designation to be created and overseen by the Florida Department of Children and Families. Those families would receive higher pay. Some would be asked to work with the Department of Juvenile Justice. Roy Miller, president of the American Children's Campaign, is a longtime advocate who has criticized DJJ. He says the so-called crossover kids, so termed because they've been involved with both state agencies, need a special level of care.
Because the child welfare system hasn't really been designed to take care of children that are returning from the euphemistic residential commitments, advocates like me use the word youth prisons. These are complicated children with complicated pasts and complicated traumas.
Miller says he doesn't know how many DJJ-involved youth are returned to the community each year.
But I would assume that these crossover kids are going to put, they're going to need those specialized treatment foster homes. These are kids who sometimes the detention centers call the parents, and the parents don't even come to retrieve the child.
The wide-ranging bill would also require DCF to collect more data about where children in state care are placed. It's part of an effort to keep them away from commercial sexual exploitation. And the bill would require DCF to develop a recruitment program for case managers and child protective investigators. I'm Margie Menzel.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Adrian Andrews, Gina Jordan, Regan McCarthy, Margie Menzel, and Tristan Wood. Shows are available Monday through Thursday by 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, wherever you get your podcasts. On many of these Florida public radio stations, you can tune in each Friday to catch the latest on all things happening at the Capitol, and that show's also available in podcast form. Technical assistance comes from Taylor Cox, and I'm Tom Flanagan. This is Capitol Report, the podcast from WFSU Public Media. Capitol Report is a production of WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee.